Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we've been talking this week about our work. Who are you working for? Talked on Monday about our motivation, yesterday about our security. Today we want to look at our reward. Our reward. 1 Peter chapter 1, this is God's word, beginning in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, who are you working for? Well, you're working for the Lord, I trust. That's what all of this is supposed to be about. Our motivation is to please him. Gratitude for what he has done. It's not trying to earn his favor. He's already lavished his love on us. And so we're doing what we do as a thank you to him. That's the difference between the Christian life and legalism. If you're trying to earn it, you haven't received it. If you have received it, you can't earn it. You know that. You know that it is by grace that we're saved. We receive it through faith, by trusting him. It's not something we deserve. We talked about, in light of that, the fact that our security in Christ is complete. Nothing can separate us from his love. But what's the reward? Is there a reward? Is it okay to think about the reward? Here, our reward is described as our inheritance. Concerning this salvation, this says, our inheritance, verse 4, can never perish, spoil, or fade, is kept in heaven for us. In other words, you know who's looking after what God has promised? God. And God has promised us an inheritance. Now, I got money from my cousin. My cousin was not rich. He left me his house, and he left me his bank accounts. But he was not a rich man. But God? God's rich. God is rich, and he's going to give us a share in the inheritance that belongs to Jesus. Well, how many ways is it going to be divided up? Don't worry about it. Why not? Because his riches are infinite. Infinite. Okay? There's no limit. There's absolutely no limit. And what is the inheritance like? Well, in John chapter 14, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's the King James Version, and I grew up on it, memorized it as a kid. I just love that. I got older, new translations came along, and they wanted to take the word there that's translated mansions in the King James, which means dwelling places, and they translated it rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. I was anticipating a mansion. I'd like a mansion. I mean, it'd be cool. Turns out we just get a room. I was bummed until I realized I wasn't thinking at all in terms of the miracle of heaven. What God is saying in John 14 is he is preparing a place for us in the Father's house where we're going to be together forever. Because he loves us that much. He's not just willing to have us in heaven. He wants us close. He loves us like that. That's staggering to me. All of us are desperately in need of grace. And God, knowing everything about all of us, says, I love you, and I'm in the process of changing you, and you're going to spend forever with me because I want it that way. That's astounding. You talk about an inheritance. To be God's child? In Revelation chapter 21, it talks about the streets of gold. Isn't that a beautiful image? Heaven's going to be so beautiful, so magnificent, we just can't comprehend it, can we? Streets of gold. Because people really would love to be in an environment where it's that beautiful. If you want to understand Revelation 21 and the streets of gold, you need to look back at Revelation 18, verses 11 through 13. Revelation 18 describes what it's like here. I'll start all the way back at the beginning of chapter 18. But our focus is going to be beginning in verse 11. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird, for all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her, excessive luxuries. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I sit as queen. I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her. Death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in one hour your doom has come. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and the articles of every kind made by ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. Well, what does that have to do with streets of gold? If you look at the list of what this earth values, what does it start with? Verse 12. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, and it works its way down in value. And when it gets to the bottom, what is the thing that this world system values the least? The bodies and souls of men. And then you see heaven. And it's not like Babylon. It's not like this world system. Instead, you got gates made of pearl. And the streets are made of gold. Instead of trampling on the bodies and souls of men, you have men walking on streets of gold. Because gold is not the precious thing anymore. We don't even need the sun in heaven because God is the light. And all the things that we thought were so important, so precious, so valuable, treasures, God says it's all going to burn. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. What's the goal? That I may know him. Oh, did Paul not know the Lord? Yeah, Paul knew the Lord better than most people in history. But it's kind of like the inexhaustible riches that God's children inherit. It's infinite. We can always know him more. That I may know you, that I may know you more. We want to know him. 1 Peter, we read about that inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for us. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, we read again, at the end, that's the beginning of the letter. At the end of the letter, it's talking about our reward, the crown that we receive. And in Revelation, those who've received crowns are casting them before the Lord because the great reward is him. Samuel Rutherford wrote a song, and someone else added to it, and I don't know who wrote which part, but the last two verses of the copy that I have are talking, the whole song is talking about being in heaven and the glory of Emmanuel's land. Listen to these two verses. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. What reward are you longing for? Is it to escape pain? Is it to walk on streets of gold? Is it to see loved ones? Or is it to see Jesus? Do you love him? The first and greatest commandment is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And if we simply see God as a way to get out of this world, Jesus is just somebody who's going to give me riches. The problem with the prosperity gospel is that it's the lie of those who don't know or love the Lord. If your aim is that you find out what you have to do in order for God to give you what you want, and what you want is the things of this world, it's no good. It's no good. Do you love him? Do you long to be with him? My recurring nightmare, which is not every night, but my recurring nightmare is that I can't get hold of my wife. Okay? Susan is somewhere else, and I'm trying to reach her, and it's based somewhat in reality because she never turns her cell phone ringer on. And so if she goes somewhere and I'm calling her, she'll see later, "I'm sorry, I see that you called me a bunch of times." It's like, yes, I did. Well, last night, I don't know where I was in my dream, but I was in some place I hadn't been before. And I was moving through this city and seeing some amazing architecture and all this kind of stuff. But I'm thinking, I've got to get to Susan. And I'm trying to call her on the phone. Not getting through. And finally, I called an operator. I said, "Would you please try and track where this person is?" And she said, "Well, I can connect you with so-and-so." And I said, "Well, do what you have to do. But right now, the most important person on this planet to me is my wife, Susan." That's a legitimate and even a romantic thing. But Jesus has to mean more to us than anybody else on the planet. We need to love him more than we love our spouse, certainly more than we love ourselves. The reward for which we labor, the inheritance that we are looking forward to, is him. It's to be with him. It's to be like him, to be conformed to his image. That's the goal. Everything else, rubbish. By comparison. That's why Jesus says, you know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to hate your father and mother. He's not saying you want bad things to happen to your mom and dad. He's saying there can't be any contest. Well, I know that God is saying I should do this, but that I don't think my spouse can go with that. Who are you trying to please? Who do you love most? Is there any contest? Can't be a contest. Well, I think we need to care for our loved ones. I mean, the Bible says that if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. Yeah. So one of the things God wants us to do is take care of our family. But we need to take care of our family with an eye toward pleasing him. Sometimes the best thing for our family is not what they want, but it's what they need. And I'll guarantee you that Satan is going to come after all of us this year, just like last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. He's going to come after us from every angle that he thinks we might be vulnerable. And the number one solution to that problem is to have an uncontested love for Jesus Christ. If you love him more than anything else, the rest of it kind of falls into place. But if you're torn in your loyalties between Jesus and anybody else or anything else, you are hugely vulnerable. So I implore you to realize Jesus isn't one of the good things. It's that in all things Christ might be preeminent. We want to love him more than life. That's how you defeat the enemy. That's how you walk in victory. That's how you have peace that passes understanding. It's because whatever is happening circumstantially, you know that God has already promised you an infinite inheritance as a joint heir with Christ. I don't know how much I'm going to get, but it's the same as him. Well, I don't feel like I deserve as much as he gets. You don't. I don't. We don't. He does. He says, I want you to have it too. Well, won't there be differences in reward in heaven? Yeah, there will. There will. Okay. I know I'm not going to get as much as some people, but I think I really ought to get more than that person. Well, then you don't understand it at all. Okay? What are we going to do with the crowns we get in heaven? Cast them at his feet. It's all about being with him, loving him. He's the light. He's the healing. He's the life. This is life eternal, that we would know him and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Hallelujah. What an inheritance. What a treasure. That's why we long for his appearing. It's not just to get out of here. It's not just an end to the suffering. It's not just seeing our loved ones. Well, do you think we'll see our loved ones? Yeah. Yeah. Do you think we'll recognize them? Yes. Well, what age will they be? Who cares? Well, I don't want them to be all old and shriveled like they were when they died. They won't be. He will display his glory in and through us. I can't comprehend that. But it's going to be great. It's going to be really, really, really wonderful. Guarantee you, nobody in heaven is saying, well, I was anticipating a little more than this. Not happening. So, you've got things to look forward to. If you are in Christ, you can look forward to seeing him, being like him, and spending forever with him. Couldn't get better than that.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.